This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
This morning is in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first six verses. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king, and David the king begot Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. This is the word of God.
Well, we begin a short series, four-part series, called Jesus According To. And that's because this Bible that we have is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And the New Testament in particular has four books to start with: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of these give a depiction of who Jesus is. So Lord willing, over the next few weeks, we're going to see what each of these writers have to say about Jesus. I think it's amazing how among a group of people there can be so many opinions that differ about well-known names. For example, if I were to go around the room and ask each individual what your opinion is of Elon Musk, there'd probably be a variety of responses given. Amen? If I went around and asked everybody your opinion of, say, Jordan Peterson, you know, there might be a variety of responses. Amen? If I went around and asked your opinion of Bill Gates, everybody here would be unanimous. Amen? If I went around the room and asked your opinion of Taylor Swift, I would hope everyone may be close to the same opinion. If I were to go around the room and ask about Charlie Kirk, there likely would be a variety of opinions. If I were to go around the room and ask your opinion about President Donald Trump, it'd be unanimous. Amen. I don't know. There'd probably be a difference of opinions. There are a lot of opinions today about Jesus Christ. Jesus once turned to his disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And 2,000 years ago in their day, there was a variety of opinions about who Jesus was. Some people think that Jesus is a good religious figure, a moral teacher. Some people think that Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy One of God. Some people think that Jesus is a God among many gods. Some people think that Jesus is a myth, a story that helps society. There are a lot of opinions of who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible gives us a revelation of who he is, and not just popular opinion 2,000 years removed, but first-hand accounts of people who walked with him, or people who walked with people who walked with him. That makes a difference, doesn't it? You see, we may all have an opinion of Elon Musk, but it may be the case that if we followed him for 3 years straight and interacted with his interactions, we may have a different opinion. Maybe it would be good or better than we had, or maybe it'll be worse than we had thinking of him. But it'll be different, likely, amen? If we spent time with Bill Gates for 3 years, we'd say, yep, I was right. Here in the Bible, we have writings of those who followed him for 3.5 years and wrote down what they experienced. Now you can sit here and say, that's bogus, that's fairy tales. But you'd actually be going against most scholarship, most opinions. Believe that this person, Jesus Christ, was a real person. And this person, Jesus Christ, was followed by certain disciples, and they wrote of their experiences with him. And your choice here today is whether you will accept and believe the things which are written or not. If you want to know who Jesus is and what he is like, don't go to the History Channel. If you want to know who Jesus is and what he is like, don't go to modern secular scholarship. There's bias involved. If you want to know who Jesus Christ is and what he is like, don't go to Hollywood. If you want to know who Jesus Christ is and what he is like, go to the Word of God, the revelation of Jesus to the world. And in the New Testament, we have 4 different angles of who Jesus is. You see, if you were at a parade, and there were 4 people at a parade, and they were at different points in the parade, they're all seeing the same parade, but they might experience different aspects of the parade. Amen? They might experience this or that, but they're all seeing the same parade. And here we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 4 depictions of who Jesus is. Same person, different angles. And so we're going to take the 4 weeks of looking at the 4 Gospels, 1 week per Gospel, and just say, what does this writer, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, want to say about Jesus Christ? Amen? So we start with Jesus according to Matthew. Jesus according to Matthew. What does Matthew have to say about Jesus? When you look at the entire book of Matthew, there's a lot that Matthew has to say about Jesus. But there's something that he wants to highlight in the book for everyone else, and that is this. Matthew wants to highlight that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen? Jesus is the Messiah. Matthew was one of the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll pick up in verse 9 there. He is writing about his own encounter and experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. The invitation was given to Matthew. The other gospel account has him as a name Levi. People in the Bible had different names in that culture. Matthew, follow me. And it says that, praise God, Matthew arose and followed him. When Jesus Christ calls out to you, do you arise and follow him? Or do you stay where you are, doing what you're doing, thinking that what you're doing is more important than what Jesus wants you to do? Amen? He said, follow me. So Matthew arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came down and sat with him and his disciples. And it goes on. This was Matthew's invitation to follow Jesus. And so he is writing of his own personal encounter and experience of following Jesus. Of the four Gospels, Matthew likely wrote after Mark, but we don't know for sure. But what Matthew wants to emphasize is that Jesus is the Messiah, and he does so by linking the Old Testament to the New Testament. You open your Bible, you've got two sections. One is called the Old Testament. Those were the revelations of God from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the exile and return. And then we have in the New Testament when Jesus shows up. And Matthew is led by God to link the two together. And that's important, and here's why. I don't think it's wrong at all to have these New Testaments that we give people, because they're small, they're concise, and the essence of the message is there. But sometimes it can be a little bit tricky, because you give somebody who did not grow up in church, did not read the Bible, doesn't know anything about Christianity, a New Testament, and you say, open this and read this, and they open this and praise God for the Holy Spirit to give understanding to the truth, because otherwise we'd be lost. Amen? You don't know anything about the Bible. You don't know anything about the Old Testament. You open up the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez, Zerah, Tamar, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Abinadab, Nashon, Boaz, Salmon, Obed, Jesse, Rehoboam, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Zerubbabel. And you go through, and you know, even J. Vernon McGee said this. He said that he knew a friend who was a chaplain during World War One, I think it was, and he would hand out these New Testaments to the soldiers. And he would watch them. They'd take this New Testament and they'd open it up to page one and they'd read, and then they close it and they put it to the side. And so how many times have you given somebody a New Testament and you told them, you said, start with John? How many? I've done it. And I don't think it's wrong for them to open up God's Word and be revealed to the words. God works through His words. But there's a reason why we say start with John. If you don't have a foundation of the Old Testament, it can be a little confusing. Amen? But the reason why I believe God worked through those who compiled these letters and compiled these Gospels into what we call the canon of Scripture and chose Matthew as the first was because Matthew links the Old Testament to the New. And so there's an assumption that when you open up the book of Matthew, you understand what is already written. Amen? And so here it is. Look. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Immediately, if you know the Old Testament, there's a bell ringing there. Why? Because Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Like, I'm Alex Ruggieri, he's Jesus Christ. No. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And so immediately there's a link. Look, Jesus the Christ, the son of David. Hey, I know David. He was the king of Israel. And it was promised that there would be a king to come through the line of David who would be ruler over Israel. There's something going on here. The son of Abraham. Wait a minute. God promised Abraham that all the nations of the world will be blessed through his seed. And here is Jesus, the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? Messiah, Christ, the title given to Jesus. It means anointed one. Because in the Old Testament, if you had someone special who was chosen for an appointed position, you'd pour oil on their head. You'd call it the anointing. And that anointing was symbolic of that they were chosen and favored by Almighty God. And so here is the Messiah, the one chosen and favored by Almighty God. And Matthew wants you to know, and Matthew wants me to know, and Matthew wants the whole world to know that we need a Messiah. We need a Messiah. And he does that in a few ways. First, Matthew shows us that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Look, if you will, here. Matthew shows us that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Open up, if you will. If you go back to the Old Testament and look at Isaiah. Many of you are familiar with this passage, but I just want to remind us in Isaiah chapter 7, we have a promise given to the world. In Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. So God is going to give the world a sign that he is at work among his people. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does that name Emmanuel mean? Well, look, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. If you go back to Matthew chapter 1, he's trying to relay a message to the world. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now look at verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So in the Old Testament, you had a promise that a son would be born to a virgin and he would be God with us. Matthew says Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, gave birth to a son named Jesus, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. It was the promise fulfilled. You're in Matthew. Jump down to Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. Herod is asking where the Messiah would be born. And we know that, we sing it during Christmas season, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem. And in verse 5, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And this means something. It means what God promises, he will fulfill. Amen? Let me say it again. What God promises, he will fulfill. Amen? When God promises that a Messiah is going to come, not the Amalekites, not the Hittites, not the Jebusites, not Babylon, not Persia, not Greece is going to stop the coming of the Messiah to the world. Amen? And God promised that He is going to be your faithful God if you trust in that Messiah. Now, do you believe Him? If God's promises are fulfilled through the coming of the Messiah, when God promises you something specifically in your life, that He will never leave you nor forsake you, that He will provide all your needs through Christ Jesus as Lord, will you believe Him? How many of you have ever heard the name Elizabeth Holmes? Elizabeth Holmes. I didn't until I was reading this for the sermon. Elizabeth Holmes was a young investor, trying to be the newest Steve Jobs. And in the early 2000s, she came up with this company. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's called Theranos. And this company was promising investors of this new invention that would take blood samples from patients and run all the tests that all the current blood tests are taking. So normally if you want a blood test that's a significant test, you sit down and they put a needle in your arm and they draw blood, and then they take that blood and they test it for a variety of things. And she was promising, this machine only has to take a prick of your finger. Take a little bit of blood, and in the machine can run any test you want to determine what this count is or if the presence of this is there or anything. And when investors heard that, their ears perked up. And she was promising this, and she was promising that. She promised enormous success. In 2010, she told one investor that Theranos would make $233 million in the following year. And later she projected $1 billion in 2015. That's what she was promising, and people were pouring in to this company. Well, guess what was actually happening? In reality, in 2010, it earned less than $600,000. In 2012 and 2013, it had zero revenue. And despite knowing that the machine didn't work at all for what she was promising, she convinced backers that it had been backed up by pharmaceutical companies and that it had been deployed in the U.S. military and was being used overseas. At its peak, the company was valued at $9 million, and Holmes herself was valued at, $9 billion, and she was valued at worth more than $4 billion. Promises, promises, promises. Well, the truth came out. The machine was a dud. And she is, when I looked it up, currently in prison, serving a decade for fraud, promising this and not keeping the promises, knowingly. God keeps His promise. You open up your Bible and you read a promise from God for you as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's yes. It is kept. But the question is, will you trust it? I love the way Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians. At the beginning of 2 Corinthians, he says this, whatever promise is given, it is yes and amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in Jesus are yes in Him. Amen. To the glory of God through Him. Matthew wants you to know there's a promised Messiah. Hope has arrived. Secondly, Matthew wants to show us not only that there is a promised Messiah and God keeps His promises, but there is a present Messiah. A present Messiah. Open up, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28, the end of the book of Matthew. And you see our description of the present glory, present authority, present dominion of Jesus the Messiah. So that he is not some ancient Messiah of the times of old, but he is the present Messiah today. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came, Jesus taught, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and before he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, he said this in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to him saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, not some authority. And it says has been given, not was given, and is taken, but has been given. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. You see, Matthew wants you to know this Jesus, he was fulfilling the promises of God. But he's still the Messiah today. He is still at work in the world today. And he is still exercising his dominion and his authority over the world that you live in, by the way. He is the only one in authority. He is the present Messiah. Not only was Jesus everything that the people of God hoped for, but today, Jesus is the only one that we need now. The testimony of Keith Green was a secular singer, became a Christian, and started making music to the glory of God. And his testimony is that he grew up in a very tumultuous time in the culture. It was during the kind of the hippie age. Young people were really questioning authority. He grew up in a quasi-observant Jewish home where they would do the Passover, the Seder meal, and he just wouldn't understand. He was never taught why. And when he became a teenager, he just rebelled against all that. And he went out and just started searching for answers. And so he'd listen to what the Buddhists had to say, and he'd listen to what the Hindus had to say, and he listened to what the Christians had to say, and he listened to all these different worldviews and teachings out there. And something he noticed was no matter what the worldview was, they all had something positive to say about Jesus. For the most part, you know, in Islam, Jesus is actually held as a prophet of God. Did you know that? In Buddhism, Jesus is seen as a great guru teacher. In Hinduism, he's also kind of held as a figure. And Keith Green was seeing these connections. Everybody's pointing to Jesus. And so he decided, well, maybe I'll see what Jesus has to say. And so he read the Bible where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
And so Keith Green said, well, everybody's pointing to Jesus, and Jesus is pointing to himself, so I guess I'll follow Jesus. It's kind of an interesting way God redeems the lies of Satan. Amen. And so he started following Jesus and not being born again. He said, Jesus is my guru. But then as he exposed himself to the Word of God more and read the Bible and heard the teachings of Christ, he realized, no, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is not a way. And I need to submit to Christ and give my life. And so he repented of his sin and received Jesus, interestingly, as a Jewish man. He received Jesus as his Messiah. Everyone needs the present Messiah, Jesus. All you need to get right with God is found in Jesus the Messiah. And no, you don't have to go to Buddhism. You don't have to go to Hinduism to get there. You can go just like Keith Green did, straight to Christ. Receive him. He is the present Messiah. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 46, if you want to turn there? The Bible says in Psalm 46 that God, remember Jesus is God with us, that God is our refuge and strength, a very what? A very present help. You know, so many people try to depict Jesus as just this teacher that happened 2,000 years ago that walked this earth. But the Bible says that Jesus is presently your hope, presently your help, presently the Lord and Savior that you need. Is He your Messiah today? Some people, they are Christians. They believed in Jesus years ago when they trusted in Him. But today, when they're going through a difficulty, they're going to this, or they're going to that person, or they're going to this substance. Today, you need to go back to the one you gave your life to so many years ago. Today, you need Jesus Christ as your Messiah. Again, not to be saved, but to receive the encouragement, or the Bible talks about the joy of your salvation. All we need right now is Jesus. Matthew shows us that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the present Messiah. Finally, Matthew shows us that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah. The prophesied Messiah. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. God wants you to know something about this Messiah. He came 2,000 years ago in fulfillment of the Scriptures, amen. He is the Lord over all authority and dominion today, amen. The Bible says that there's a day coming when this Messiah is coming again. Is coming again. He is the prophesied Messiah. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples ask Jesus in verse 3, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus goes through and teaches them the signs that will be present that are tied to His coming. But look, if you will, in verse 29. The Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man, which is another title for Christ, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. There will be a coming of the Lord, there will be a gathering of His people, and it will be, the Bible talks about, a glorious display. Oh, the Messiah is going to come again. There is a new chapter this world has yet to experience. And oh, I pray that people get right with God before that day comes. Amen. Clock is ticking. I'm very cautious in my prophecy analysis of current events. But when I see the direction of the world and things that are happening, it leads me to believe that the coming is closer than I really think. I don't want to make any claim, but I do want to say this. The Lord Jesus is coming again, and He's going to judge this world, and it's going to happen before we destroy ourselves. Amen. God is coming with judgment on this world. There was quite a display in the sky yesterday. Did anyone see it? Did you look outside yesterday when the sun was setting? Did you see the clouds in the sky? I called them cotton bowl clouds. At some point in the evening, I looked up and there the clouds were cotton balls. They were little balls of clouds. They were just tiny balls. There's hundreds of them all over the sky. And they were turning a glorious hue of orange and yellow and pink. And it was beautiful and glorious. And then the sun set and the stormy clouds came in with their mystery. Amen. And they came in with their wonder. And then the sky just started lighting up. Did you see it? Did you look in the sky and see in the distance the flashes of light? And did you see the bolts of lightning that were crawling across the sky, just one after another, after another, after another? It was beautiful. The Bible says in verse 27 of this chapter, as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. There'll be a glorious, it says that he will return in the way he left. He left in glory in the clouds. He will return in glory in the clouds. The day is coming when the Messiah will return, and it'll be a glorious display of lightning and clouds and fire, the Bible talks about. Oh, I pray that we are right with God when that happens. Oh, I pray that we share the gospel with others before that happens, because the clock is ticking. Matthew wants you to know this Messiah is coming back. Are you ready? Matthew wants you to know that this Messiah is present. He's here today, Lord over all, present in the church among the Holy Spirit inside of us. Matthew wants you to know that the Messiah was promised. God fulfilled it. You can trust him. So the question that Matthew, that God, that I want to leave with you this morning and myself, is Jesus your Messiah? You have one life to live. You will die and face God someday. Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is the only Savior of the world. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ as the Messiah? Today can be the day of salvation, when you bend the knee of your heart and submit to him, knowing that you cannot earn salvation yourself. Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins. You can't earn it. You can't impress God. You must bow the knee to Almighty God and say, I confess my sins and I receive you as Lord and Savior as a gift. He wants you to be his child. If you repent and turn to him and trust in him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you are a child of God here today, praise the Lord that he is your Messiah and you are his child. You are his follower. And I pray that today we renew our commitment to follow him. Amen. If he's your Messiah, he's your rabbi. And if he's your rabbi, you're his disciple. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. Will you renew your commitment to daily take up your cross and follow him? Amen. Is he your Messiah? Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Jesus according to Mark. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would follow you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would renew our commitment to you. You are the Messiah. You are the chosen one of God. And there is no other person in all of eternity, in all of the universe, worthy of all our devotion. I pray every single soul in this building here is following you, Lord. I pray that we would commit ourselves afresh to following you, Lord. I pray that we would deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you, Lord. For you are Messiah. In Jesus' name, all of us as God's people here confess and say, Amen.